The Tom Woods Show, episode 1965.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, improve your life with the official coffee of the Tom Woods Show, Presshouse Coffee. Try a couple of their amazing varieties, and you'll see why old Woods, who never drank coffee before, now loves it. Take 20% off your first order with code WOODS at PresshouseCoffee.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Ben Settle is back with us today for the first time in quite a while. Ben is one of my favorite people in the world. I have learned an enormous amount from him. He's an expert marketer, and in particular, he's an expert on email marketing, but he is also a really, really great and informed contrarian on a lot of issues on which you need to be a contrarian. He's been excellent and solid and hardcore on the whole COVID stuff and Dr. Fauci and all that. And I wanted to talk to him about how do you market yourself and stay alive and stay visible in a world in which telling the truth can get you deplatformed. I mean, what are you supposed to do in a world like this? So I want to talk to him about that and what should people be thinking about for their futures when they see what their jobs are requiring of them these days. And it's a very, very bad situation. And Ben is the kind of guy I want to brainstorm with. Definitely check him out at bensettle.com. He publishes the Email Players newsletter that I've subscribed to for quite a long time. And he's just made my life a lot more comfortable because I've learned what he teaches and doggone it, it works. Ben, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be back. I don't know if this is my third or fourth or 10th time, but it's always good.
It is always good. It's been a long time. And I think it's really... The time is right, definitely, for us to have this conversation. I think the last time we talked, it had to have been before the COVID stuff, because I know we would have talked about that on the show, and I don't think you and I have.
I think it was about 4 years ago, actually, because I was still living in a different town. I don't know. I was still living in a different town. I moved here 3 years ago, so yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, all right. Well, we won't let that happen again. But... it just seems like I had to talk to you because I want to get your thoughts about what's going on these days and particularly how the kinds of things you teach are related to that. I mean, of course, you don't have to worry about anybody telling you to take a vaccine or whatever. You don't have to worry about any propaganda like that. That doesn't even occur to you. You're not working for anybody, and that's great. But also, you, what's interesting is you voluntarily left Facebook and Twitter. You didn't wait for them to boot you off. You just left and you did the opposite of what people would think. You think, well, these are two channels for you to have free publicity.
Yeah.
And you left them just like that. And I remember thinking, oh, Ben, come on now. That's a mistake. You got free publicity. You had a thriving group. And so there are people, though, who feel like their lives are ruined because they've been deplatformed by these places. So given all this stuff that's going on, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Let's start actually right there, though. You did have channels, namely Facebook and Twitter, where you could draw attention to the work you were doing. And then one day you were gone from them. And I thought that is the most Ben Settle thing I have ever seen. Now, what was the thinking behind that?
Well, okay, so ironically, I've been wanting to get off Facebook, especially for a while before that, because they were doing all that data privacy butchering, you know, and sharing data. And I just don't like any of that. And the way I use social media is I don't use social media to put people on my list. I use social media to sort of filter my email list. I send my email list to social media, not the other way around. So I'm not like missing out on anything. But the reason, here was kind of the tipping point, Tom. This is what makes this very ironic that you asked this. The tipping point, okay, was when I just realized how freaking low IQ even my own family was on Facebook. Because I have a cousin she's okay. She's a nurse and all that. But, you know, she's kind of indoctrinated with horse crap. So she put a meme up of one of those Kermit the Frog memes up. Where he's like drinking tea, right? And espousing something.
Yeah.
And it had something to do, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically people are worried about Ebola, but they won't get a flu shot. Now, you know, I thought that's kind of a false equivalency in my way of thinking. I just said it doesn't really make sense. Because at the time, especially, there were people coming in through the southern border who came from Ebola countries that have Ebola problems. And well, I didn't think I was going to get Ebola. I was actually a lot more concerned about that than the freaking flu. You know, so it turned into this weird vaccine thing with some of my other cousins who were just, I couldn't believe how stupid some of them were. And I have to get off her. I'm going to start hating all my family members. And, you know, I already had one foot out anyway, but that was sort of like,
okay.
That was sort of like the episode of South Park with Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo, this character. And the one character,
yeah, right.
Cartman goes, talking poop is where I draw the line. I'm out of here. That was my talking poop moment. I'm just like, I draw the line. I got to get out of here. So there you go.
Well, the thing is, I do, to some degree, kind of build my list through Facebook and Twitter because I get people who follow me, and these days I'm writing an awful lot about COVID restrictions and stuff like that. People are very interested in that, and eventually they find my ebook, which puts them on my list. And if I were cut off from those things, it wouldn't be absolutely devastating to me, but it would be annoying. And I know there are some people whose business model, you know, for whose business model social media really works, and it really would be hard for them to cope with that. So what would they do? Like, what do you do? In other words, how do you get people on your list? If you're not getting them through Facebook and Twitter, you're probably not getting them through paid ads. How are you getting them on your list?
Well, if I was doing what you're doing, if I was out there in the political world and all that, I would still be on there just for that, because you do have a built-in audience. You have built-in traffic and all that. But my best customers and leads never came like that. I get them by doing, for example, interviews like this. You know, this is one of my best ways of getting leads. I've done so many of these that I'm so ingrained in Google out there right now that people find me that way just from shows I've done 5 or 6 or 10 years ago. I used to do a lot of article marketing, which a lot of people say doesn't work, and they're wrong. It totally works. Okay. Not for SEO purposes, but it does work. And I'll do list swapping. This is the oldest thing in the world. You find someone else who has an email list, and you have an email list, and you kind of respect each other, and you like each other, and you're like, well, how about I tell my audience about your list and you tell your audience about my list, right? And I do that too. So, you know, there's ways, but a lot of it's just word of mouth. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you where most of my people come from now, but I get like 20, 30 opt-ins probably a day. And, you know, I don't need social media.
All right. Well, that's great. That's great to have a model like that. Now, when you say article marketing, do you mean you write an article, you get it posted somewhere, and then in your bio, there's a link to your list or your website or something like that? Is that article marketing?
Absolutely.
And then the article itself has to do with the kind of topic that they'll learn about on your list.
Absolutely. And it brings in a higher quality lead than what people probably realize. Somebody who spends 5 or 10 minutes or 4 minutes or 3 minutes reading an article and then takes the time to go to your site and opt in is a pretty good lead. And again, there's no SEO benefits to that really anymore. There might be. I'm just not an SEO guy. But it doesn't matter, because you're going to get whatever traffic is on the site that your article is posted. And some of those sites, like, for example, like one of these sites, the easingarticles.com, I'm sure there's other ones, they actually want they encourage their publishers to syndicate your content to their list. So you may get people, you know, coming from places you don't even know. It's kind of like a cocktail of things you want to do, as many as you can, and just do something every day. And you'll get people on your list, if you get booted off Twitter or Facebook or not, it won't matter.
I want to ask you, this was actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about something that you've been writing about in your newsletter, Email Players. And I was just sitting here thinking, I wonder when I subscribe to Email Players. And I have at least one clue. I have a photo of myself from 2017 where I'm at a venue where I'm about to organize an event and I'm wearing the Email Players shirt. So at that point, I was a completely convinced subscriber, which means I must have been on there for at least, so I guess maybe 5 years at least I've been subscribing. I don't know off the top of my head, but my point is I've been around a while. I followed you for a while. I was on your list. Then I subscribed to the newsletter. It didn't take me long to subscribe to the newsletter. But you've been talking about sixth generation marketing and how different it is from the kinds of approaches people took in the past. And this has just left me spellbound, because I'm sitting here thinking, how can this apply, or how does this apply to my own particular situation? And I think it's the kind of thing people need to hear about. So I know it's a lot, but can you try to summarize what this is all about?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it runs parallel to the different generations of military warfare, which There's this book I recently read called Unrestricted Warfare. It's by these two Chinese colonels, and basically it was written like 1999. And it's basically everything that's happening right now with China. There's none of this is a surprise to anyone who's read this book and why they've got us by the balls. You know, because like, they play a different game of warfare. And a lot of people call what they're doing fifth generation military warfare, where the fighting happens and they subdue whole countries, or they could subdue a whole country without firing a bullet, or the population even knowing it's happening. Right? They don't even know they've been taken over. That's how sneaky it is. Now, I was thinking about that for a while. I've been thinking about this sort of thing for a while. There's parallels of that to the marketing world. The original first generation military warfare is just like people on a battlefield, right? Fighting with swords and stuff, real basic. And now it's up to today where you don't even know what the weapon is. The weapon could be the media. The weapon could be propaganda. The weapon could be financial, right? It could be all this stuff. It could be a hacker who just kind of has the right information on the right person in the right place. It could be a Chinese spy who's sleeping around with diplomats, you know, like all that stuff comes together. And that's how these wars are being fought now. And I thought about this from a marketing point of view, and it's very similar, although there's an extra generation or the sixth generation. And I thought about all the different ways of selling going back to the beginning of humanity. You know, it started out, you had one person selling something or trading something, right? It was one-on-one. There's no advertising or marketing. Eventually, somebody was putting an ad up, and now the whole town in some Roman village somewhere probably like saw the first ad, for all I know, right? And then that was pretty much it for a while. And then I believe we had third generation marketing warfare, which was basically direct response marketing as we know it, you know, direct response ads, direct mail, all the offline stuff, running ads and, you know, space ads and that sort of thing, maybe even 900 phone numbers, you know, whatever. And then you get the what I think was fourth generation marketing warfare was when the internet came prominent. Now you got email, you can advertise on websites. It's a different battlefield, so to speak. And then that takes us to fifth generation after that, which is like social media. Now there's community building to it, which is a whole other thing. You couldn't do that before the other generations of marketing warfare. The whole community thing is now a very, we all take it for granted, but it's actually pretty profound. And then that leads us to sixth generation marketing warfare, which is what I've been teaching a lot about, which is sort of selling, and people don't even realize you're selling it to them. And they're often pre-sold before they even hear who you are, find you, or run into you in some way, which is a very, you know, it's a very sneaky way of, it's not sneaky in a bad way, but it's a very, very under the radar way of selling where you're not even really selling. I mean, you are, but nobody really feels like you're selling them, and they might be buying from you without even knowing who you are. So that, I hope that summarized it.
Yeah. So now we'll dig a little bit more into that sixth generation. But let me say something about fifth generation, because I feel like I'm at about five and a half. I read the summary of what sixth generation marketing is, and I just think if only I could get to, I just need to think of how it could work. You did have a piece on berserker customers, and I do think I have some of those. But on the fifth generation stuff, I have built a kind of a community. I mean, around my newsletter. I mean, I get people writing to me every day because they read the newsletter and they just respond and write to me. And I can't possibly respond to all these people, but it amazes me. They're from all over the world. They're thankful for what I'm doing. They love what I'm doing. And, you know, I do have social media following. It's been an amazing, especially year and a half, because my list doubled, more than doubled, because of all this crazy stuff. But I also now have I've had for a number of years, a private group, kind of like what you had. But now the benefit is, now that I left Facebook a couple years ago, I'm on MeWe, and I've heard anecdotes about occasionally you get in trouble with MeWe, but I haven't had that problem. Not one post has been censored or fact-checked by idiots or any of that stuff. Nothing. And so the selling point is not just that I'm in there making comments too, it's that here is an uncensored discussion going on, you know, where you can talk to other intelligent people, not feel like you're crazy. And I was worried, if I move off a big platform onto a smaller one, am I going to lose everybody? Are people not going to be interested? And what happened was, I tapped into, at least unknown to me, hostility toward Facebook. That when I said I'm leaving Facebook and going onto this other platform, I got a flood of new members saying, thank goodness I was just waiting for you to do that. And that surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, We built a whole platform just on based on how much everyone hates Facebook too. It's called Social Layer. I mean, it's the same exact type of thing.
Yeah. Talk about that. Talk about the stuff you're doing that basically amounts to just building your own thing. You know, because they say, you know, jokingly, but they say, well, you don't like Facebook, or they booted you off, build your own social media thing, which is not really, build your own airline if they won't let you off. It's not really practical for most people. So what is it that you've been doing?
Well, that's a very real thing. I financed this whole platform single-handedly. My business partner like does all the legwork, right? And it ain't cheap. I mean, it really ain't. But okay, so let's take that for example. Having your own software platform is a weapon in sixth-generation marketing warfare because, or it can be. Think of Facebook, for example. You know, they built this platform. And now because they manipulate what you see in news feeds and all that, they're actually influencing you without, well, you wouldn't realize it, but the average person doesn't realize that they're even being sold anything. Could just be sold on, you know, being a little terrorist, you know, like the little tyranny people now running around Facebook trying to get people canceled if they didn't get a jab and all this stuff. And they don't even realize that it's happening to them. Their minds are being subjugated and their buying decisions are being subjugated right now. And they're being manipulated into doing things they might not ordinarily have done. And they don't even realize it because it's going on. So software is just one that lets you do that. You know, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit. I wanted to bring something up because it reminds me of you a little bit. And now this is going to sound a little, Tom, this is going to sound, you got to hear me out before you freak out.
Okay.
It doesn't remind me of you, but like what I think your potential is, especially with your standing up. Okay. Think of Black Lives Matter.
Okay, I'm with you.
They don't solve any problems. They don't sell anything. They don't really sell anything, right? They just kind of accept money. All they have is a philosophy. Now, it could be a philosophy someone agrees with. It doesn't really matter. Yet, on the basis and strength of that philosophy, they all million, multiple tens of, I got, who knows how many, hundreds of millions of dollars for all I know, is moving around, you know, going to them. Nobody questions the finances. The owners are actual admitted Marxists, living like, you know, like kings or queens. They're both women. But, you know, and nobody even realizes people are out there fighting over this. You have people holding signs on the edge of the road. They don't even know what the hell they're doing. They're just doing it because everyone else is doing it. All based on a philosophy that doesn't even solve a problem. There's other organizations that I guarantee do a better job solving the problem that they're supposed to be doing, but you don't hear about them because they don't have that philosophy. They don't have a philosophy that anybody cares about. So that's another example of what I mean by sixth generation marketing warfare. Dr. Fauci is like the master of this. I'm guessing you don't like him very much. I don't like him worth a damn. I can't stand the guy. All I hear is lie after lie after lie after lie, and the biggest shill from pharmaceutical industry I've ever seen in my life. But Jesus, this guy is like the best copywriter who ever lived. You know, he doesn't. His whole brand, his whole philosophy is fear. He just keeps you afraid. You know, and because of that fear, how many billions of dollars are exchanging hands and you know, all this stuff? And it's like I don't admire the guy, but I do admire how he's pulling this off. And to a degree, Subway even did the same thing back in the day before the guy got charged with pedophilia. They actually had everybody thinking they were a weight loss clinic. You know, it's like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is under the radar selling, influencing, and persuasion. It's where everyone else is the soldier for you, and you're not really doing it. Now, a guy like you, Tom, with your positioning out there, is like the guy at what you do. I'm telling you, man. You know, I know you have that issue with email players. I would just say that was probably more applicable to you than most people. I didn't think of that when I wrote it, but I mean, just talking to you now, it just occurred to you.
I appreciate that. I can't remember if I told you this, but it's interesting because you just got done saying that the philosophy, if done right, can draw people in. And then at that point, they're just with you. And it's not the sort of thing you would have thought of before. And it's not the sort of thing that, well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose that you could have physical products that are associated with a certain philosophy. Like you could have sneakers or food products, whatever, that are associated with fitness and living a fulfilling life and so on and so forth. So I guess it's possible. But I'm definitely associated with a certain philosophy. But yet, what's interesting is the thing I'm launching next, and I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to do it, but in the relatively near future, is this idea that Jay Abraham gave me. Because I talked to him for 2 hours. And Ben, talking to Jay Abraham for 2 hours cost you a lot of money.
Yes.
There's no getting around. Okay, but yeah. I knew it would be worth every penny. And by the way, people, if you don't know Jay Abraham, is go Google him and look at all the stuff that he's done. He's got one of these crazy minds. So anyway, we talked for 2 hours. He's dropping bombs on me, you know, value the whole time, and then saying, I hope this is helping you. Yeah, a little. So we get to the last 5 minutes of my 2 hours with him. And I said, I want to know, what do you think my signature product should be? I mean, I already have a product where I have courses and I teach history and all that, but what's my signature product going to be? Because I feel like I haven't quite gotten it yet. I haven't figured it out. And he said, I'll tell you what your signature product is. You have a community of people and a community of followers who trust and respect you. And they know all about libertarianism, most of them. They know all the stuff. They've read the books that you've read, a lot of them, or at least they have the gist of it. But here's what they don't have the gist of, but they will also trust you on. Living in this world right now, they're living in a world where every institution hates them. The schools hate them. The media hates them. Political class hates them. The corporate CEOs hate them. I mean, it's kind of hard to live in that world. So maybe instead of just teaching them about libertarianism, you could have something that teaches them about, okay, now I've made money, where am I supposed to put it? Just all of it in gold? Like, what am I supposed to do with it? Or how am I supposed to educate my kid when the local school board hates my guts and homeschooling seems intimidating and I don't know where to start? Or young kids trying to navigate, you know, kids, sympathetic kids trying to navigate the dating scene these days. Good luck. There are a million problems that these people face on a day-to-day basis, and none of them have to do with libertarian philosophy. They just have to do with how on earth do you live and prosper in a world where you're just surrounded by people who can't stand you? And you could teach all these sorts of things. You'd teach them how to run a home business. You could all these sorts of things, filling all these gaps for them. He says, that's your product. And so it's interesting that the product he's recommending doesn't strictly have to do with the philosophy that's associated with me, but it does have to do with the fact that I would say that I have some people who follow me who, as soon as I tell them I'm launching this, they do not need to be convinced. They know it'll be good. They're going to buy it immediately. They don't even need, they'd be insulted if I sent them to a sales page. They know they need to have this thing. And that's what you mean by the berserker customers.
I do. And, you know, I would even take what Jade told you, if I and amplify it even more, I still think even he's kind of missing it because, well, at least from the perspective I'm coming from, the six. Now, I understand I made up the whole term of sixth generation marketing warfare. He wouldn't have been coming from that position. He's still a strategy guy, but he's not like this. He's not a philosopher. But I firmly believe that to pull this off, you have to sell your philosophy and nothing else. And all the stuff you're saying is part of it, but it's not really the philosophy. Like what I'm hearing now, you can disagree with this if you want or take it or not take it. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm hearing you're the guy to teach stealth wealth, right? Like here's how to build wealth and be just, you know, have a good life and a good lifestyle without anybody really knowing what you're up to. Right.
Like you. That's exactly my lifestyle. No one knows how I'm doing it.
You infiltrate the school boards. Why? Because you're teaching a philosophy and they're going to go out and soldier on your behalf. And you know what I mean? Like it's a reversal right now. Like I think we're already seeing it. I think we're starting to see this now where things are reversing. It used to be that the left was the subversive ones and they were infiltrated. They're doing the Marshallian institutions and all that, like that guy Gramsci. I forget how you say it. They're talking about, I think that's reversing now. And there's guys like you out there that are going to be retaking those things back by spreading soldiers out there who buy into your philosophy. It's not unlike how certain religions actually grew. You know, Christianity started with 12. Look at it today, right? And it was a philosophy. I mean, I personally, it's more than just a philosophy, but just looking at it, you know, from someone who doesn't believe it, it's a philosophy, if nothing else. And that's what I'm talking about. And people soldier for you. And they talk to people. They may not even have heard of you, but you're doing this thing and it snowballs out there. But you have that community, like Jay Abraham was saying, that you can start there. And it's pretty powerful. You know, it's one of those things that when the more you think about it, it's a rabbit hole that just gets deeper and deeper. probably one of my favorite examples of this is this guy. I don't know him. I have no association with him other than my woman, Stefania. She uses his system for weight loss, or she, because she had a kid and everything. And so she wanted to get back her old size. And his name's Andy. I forget his last name, but he has this system called 75 Hard. It's a philosophy. That's all he sells you is a, he tells you exactly what to do. Nothing he tells you is like new or mind bending. It's all, he's not selling weight loss. He's selling mental toughness. And it's like a whole different thing. And this guy has a fanatical following. And I understand why, but I admire how he pulls this off. It's like the most ethical and honest and transparent way to sell. And yet nobody really knows you're selling to them. Like, you don't buy any of this stuff unless you really are sold into his philosophy first. Compare that to older times of selling. You had to sell the product first, and then you got people in on your philosophy. Because it, now it's like completely, I don't think people buy the product unless they are buying your philosophy. And so, by the way, this is one weapon in sixth generation marketing warfare. There's so many more. You've read about them. But that's how deep this can go. And I don't know. I don't know, Tom. I think you could, you know, I think you're already doing it. It's just, I think I'd be interested to see how you take things from here. Let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. Now, let me give an example of maybe of what you're talking about. I created something with a friend who's a tech guy, and it's a website, covidchartsquiz.com. And the idea of it is, we're going to show you, we're not going to label them. We're going to show you two states, and one of them locked down heavily and one didn't. And here are the numbers. Here's the charts showing the deaths. Pick out which one locked down. And of course, you're always wrong. You know, yeah. You're always wrong. Or, you know, which one of these had a mask mandate? Or here are 10 Midwestern states. One of them got rid of all its restrictions last month. Can you tell us which one it is? Of course, you can't because all the lines are absolutely the same. So I made this quiz as something people could send around to their friends who are always telling them to follow the science. Okay, well, look, here are the actual hard numbers. And then at the bottom, it says, by the way, you can also get my ebook on this with more information. So there's a very, very light opt-in possibility. But really, I just wanted this thing to go viral, you know, and then some small percentage will actually wind up on my list. Well, people who have now, at this point, that has gone so far, most people looking at it don't even know who I am. They don't know that they're out there promoting for me. But every time that thing gets sent around, I get a few more people on my list. I'm able to reach more people now, get the ideas out there, and then have more people who eventually realize, hey, Woods has a podcast. And so the whole thing works because I've got, I can't do all this. I have an army of people who are going to reach people I could never reach because I don't know them. I don't even know who they are or where they are. But as you say, they don't even have to know who I am. And yet, without realizing it, they're out there promoting me.
Yeah, that's a really good, that's actually a very good weapon. I'm just calling it a weapon. That's what it is. And it's also that kind of, I mean, first of all, quizzes is a way to build a list. I've never used it for that purpose, but I know people have. But I'll tell you what, you also have another advantage on your side, and that is, and I know this because you and I both share one of these, and you have trolls. You know? And, yep. And they're great unpaid salespeople because they're out there trolling you, which just turns on your followers. And then your followers, people are watching what they're up to who've never heard of you before. Or know. And none of this has anything to do with buying a product from you, like you said. But some of them will filter in. And it's just, I don't know. To me, it's a fascinating way of thinking of business. It's changed the way I think about and do stuff. It's hard for us. We go back and forth, but it's kind of hard to succinctly wrap up, you know what I mean, without a few years of experience first. Like a newbie cannot really apply any of this. But someone who's been in it in a while can. Someone who's new could start thinking this way from the start. It's just about thinking through. You know, the good thing you talk about Jay Abraham is he is a strategy guy. By the way, I don't really know him. We spoke at the same seminar once. And I remember him having to remind everyone because he was doing these hot seats. I'm a strategy guy. Don't ask me tactics. So, you know. And you can kind of see his eyes roll at the questions people would ask him. They all wanted tactical answers, but it's not about tactics.
Yeah. You know, can I say a quick thing about Jay Abraham? Because the thing that actually drew me into him was when he said, now I'm paraphrasing it, but he said something like, if your goal in your business is to improve by 2% next year, I'm not your guy. Because if you want to improve by 2%, just do 2% more of what you're doing now and that's it. But I'm the guy who maybe next year you do 30% better because my role is to look at the big picture, the bird's eye view of what you're doing, and find the gaps, find things that you could or should be doing, but mysteriously or not. And if you did them, it would make a big, big difference. And I like stuff like that. Like that immediately drew me in. And so I actually joined one of his high ticket programs, and you have to call them first before they let you in. And when I called them, I said, and the thing is, I'm sure they were ready to upsell me, but I already upsold myself. I said, I want to talk to Jay Abraham. Like, I don't want his, I mean, I want the program, but I really want 2 hours of his time. And that wound up really doing me a lot of good. All right, let's say a little something, though, about newbies. All right, because, you know, right now we're living in times that are really, really rough on a lot of people. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're living through. I had about 3 weeks to a month ago, I had on my show the guys who are the backbone of Right Said Fred, and they had this huge hit, I'm Too Sexy, all those years
ago.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And it turns out they're great guys. They're totally with us on COVID and all this other stuff. And they refuse to perform at any festivals or anything that require vaccination to enter or anything. They're just not doing that. And I really, really like these guys. And they said, you know, in this day and age, the only way to really be able to avoid all the craziness that could come down the pike is you got to work for yourself. And now that's not, frankly, something that I think does work for everybody. Some people, this just wouldn't work for them. But they said it so starkly. I've never said it that starkly. I've recommended to my people, maybe you ought to think about a side hustle or something. And then if you really like it, it could turn into your full-time job. But I've never said you absolutely have to work for yourself. But their view was, given how crazy things are getting, you really, really, really have to start looking in that direction. Do you have any advice for people who maybe they're 15 years into a career and they just don't, they don't like where things are going? They could be shut down at any moment, you know, if they're the owner, or if they're an employee, they could have some crazy requirement placed on them. Do you have any advice for people in that situation?
Well, the first thing I'd say is keep resisting, because this whole house of cards, you can only move the goalposts so far before you hit the stadium wall. So, you know, just hang in there would be my first thing. And make them fire you. You know, don't quit. You know what I mean? Like, at least you got some. I don't know how much that'll help someone, but I mean, it's better than nothing. But besides that kind of stuff, there's two things. Well, first of all, even working for yourself, like I do and like you do, we're still potentially going to have some pretty big problems like everyone else. Because if you take this to its logical conclusion, and I don't think it'll reach this, because I just think the whole thing is going to collapse. And when the mass deaths start happening because people have been getting lied to happen and all that, who knows? And I'm just saying, I could be wrong, but that's my thought. Chase Bank, for example, is already, you know, how long is it going to be before a bank or MasterCard or Visa, they start saying, well, we can't do business with you if you haven't gotten, you know, the jab, right? Is going in that direction. I mean, shoot, Australia, it's like they became the penal colony they originally were. They went full circle or something, yeah. Man. It's crazy. Yeah. And so it is good to have your own thing, but even that you can't really rely on. And that I would seriously, and I'm doing this myself, and I'm much slower at this than I'd like to be, start trying to become a little more self-sufficient so that maybe start, I'm not saying you have to have a farm or a homestead or anything like that, but like, for example, when I bought this house, it came with a hot tub, which I've never used. I mean, I don't know why these people would even have built a hot tub here where I live. And I'm like, we're turning that into a greenhouse. And under that, we're going to have a little chicken coop and all this stuff. We already talked to the contractor. It's happening. But it's just little things like that. And just start thinking that, what would you do if all that was taken? Even if you have your own business, what if they stopped doing business with us using banks and regular money and all that? I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying it could. And, you know, even having a business may not be enough. Actually, one of the things I want to do is buy a local business in town, you know, and get really entrenched in my community, because people are going to start looking to each other for help on this kind of stuff. You know, something that's all cash, right? You know, I'm just saying, now, these are just, you know, I'm just throwing ideas out there. What I'm saying is that even having a business may not be quite, I mean, how long is it going to be before PayPal starts making you have a, you know, show everyone, every officer in your company, which is like, in my case, just me, I'm guessing in your case, maybe just you, but it's probably not too many people, have to show proof of certain things, right? I don't know if it'll get to that point. I do know that they see the whoever's running the show seems to want it to get to that point. But what if it does get to that point? Maybe it's 5, 10, 15 years out. I don't know. But better to start thinking of it now and not think of it from like a play to not lose type of thing. But how do you win this thing? How do you thrive during this? These are the thoughts that go through my head. I don't have all the answers, but this is the way I think people should start thinking, is more strategically and not so reactively.
Hey, everybody, let's take a minute to acknowledge the 1,000th way The Tom Wood Show improves your life, and that is via Press House Coffee, the official coffee of The Tom Wood Show, that took this, let's say, 40-something man here, and after 40-plus years of not drinking coffee, converted him into an avid coffee drinker. And it did so by means of its wide variety of coffees, including my favorites, Blueberry Muffin and Key Lime Pie. And they produce these amazing flavors not by adding some chemical that kind of tastes like key lime pie, but by expertly blending different coffees together to yield these flavors naturally. Well, I want to recommend Press House's all-new Daily Grind. Daily Grind is 2 weeks' worth of Press House's most popular coffees, perfectly portioned, ground, and sealed at peak freshness, no matter how you like to brew or how much you like to brew at a time. Rip it, dump it, brew it, that's it. No guesswork, measuring, or noisy grinders necessary. The battle between fresh and convenient is finally over. Subscribe and 10 more pouches will be at your doorstep right before you run out every time. It's time to ditch the K-cup for a way better cup. Go to PressHouseCoffee.com and click Daily Grind to change the way you coffee for good. And use promo code WOODS at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's 20% off your first order at PressHouseCoffee.com. By the way, that line about playing to win rather than playing not to lose,
yeah,
that's helped me so much. And I am generally the kind of person who I feel like mindset and, you know, like mindset courses and all that, I think is all just a big waste of time. You know, come on, fix your own mindset. Sometimes, sometimes you do need to be jolted. And there have been times like when I'm doing email or once or twice a year, I do a really, really hard push for one of my products that I'm very proud of. And I hear your voice when I say to myself, well, maybe I'll just email just a couple of times today. No, for this promotion, I'm going to be emailing you 4 times in a day. And that's just going to, and then tomorrow it's going to be another 4 times. And it's okay. If you don't want that, that's okay. You can delete the emails, which takes you 2 seconds. You can unsubscribe from the list. That's okay. I feel like since I'm giving you free content all year long, and all I ask in return is that 2 weeks out of the year, you delete a few emails, I don't see that that's an unfair trade at all. But it has worked for me because, doggone it, some people make decisions that are going to help them, by the way. Buying my Liberty Classroom product is going to help them. They make them because they, you know, over and over and over, their objections get addressed. They keep hearing about it. Or they were busy before and you reminded them before it expired. And I'm telling you, I live a much, much more comfortable life because you gave me that one piece, that one sentence advice right there.
Well, you know, here's another thought to riff on that a little bit. What if the internet gets turned off? What if they selectively turn people's internet?
I'm dead. In that case, there's nothing. I'm going to have to just go beg my supporters for help.
Yes and no. I mean, my point is that now is the time to start collecting offline information. And not only that, but that's the big reason to be building that sort of sixth generation marketing warfare following, because they couldn't get rid of Alex Jones, right? Like, I think he's bigger than ever now. And he was, what, deplatformed across the board? You know, he could probably just have seminars in his house. And guys like Trump, they weren't going to build a really deep platform. He'll always have. And this is one, my point is to become a platform unto yourself so that they could take email away easily. Gmail could disappear all of our emails if they wanted. They know it's coming from us, right? So I say stack multiple medias. That's why I think it's good to have your own software platforms. If it's something, you know, for people, first of all, building software is hard. I'm not advocating it. I mean, I only do the marketing side of things. I watch my business partner. It is hard, it is expensive. But, you know, there are other marketing medias out there. You know, there's your list, there's membership sites, some are internet, there's some offline ones. Like, for example, if you hold little workshops or seminars about whatever it is you're doing, that's offline. So short of them sending the police after you, because, you know, I don't know if they could really have that. There's not that many police left. Like, enforce all this stuff. You know, there's always going to be something you can do. And why not just, like, okay, what if the internet, I just read this yesterday, Tom. They were saying how the internet's been turned off in selective countries, usually around elections, more times in the last 5 years than the previous, whatever it's been, 30 years since the internet, everyone started using it. Will it get that bad? I don't know. But if it does, why not try to position yourself now so that you sort of, you benefit from it? I mean, you know, like you can actually thrive and you'll be stronger for it. I think this is more important than me saying, well, go online, start a business and all that. Think big. Like you're thinking big. I think that's the best advice I can give is just start thinking bigger. Start thinking strategically, not reactively. And, you know, there's even a book I can recommend for this. And I did not write this book. So it's not me shilling my own books here, Tom. Usually I like to shill my own stuff, but it's a book called The 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene. He's the same guy who did 48 Laws of Power. And I can tell you, it is extremely good for teaching, not for like tactical stuff, but just learning how the greatest strategical minds throughout history solve problems, how they approach life, how they ultimately took over. It was impossible to read what they're going to do next. I mean, guys like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, you know, just going down the line, like every leader you've heard of, they're just all in there. Every king and queen has ever done anything really cool strategically. It's all there. And I'm going to go through it again. Like it's something I'm going to be going through several times. So that'd be my advice.
All right. Think big. And again, that's something I've kind of started doing from reading Email Player's newsletter, is thinking in ways that I wouldn't have thought before. And by the way, when you're starting from zero, as I was, it's very hard to think big then, because I just want to accomplish anything whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then once I did that, and I realized that I could do that, then I got into another kind of a rut or a plateau where I think, okay, this is all I can. I mean, other people have big smash successes, but I'm pretty content with where I am. Nuts to that. You know, think about what's the next thing. I could very, very easily coast through the rest of my life not ever doing a new thing. I could just consolidate what I've already done and have a very comfortable life. But that's just not the way I work. I want to know what's the next challenge. What's the next? What's the thing that can take me to the next level? I want to do that. And so, again, I've been encouraged by reading you, and I've adapted my email strategy really by reading you. And so I would say over the course of my life, I'm trying to think right now, I only know three people I've given, maybe there's a fourth, but it's you can count them on one hand that I've given testimonials to. And I send you a testimonial like year or something.
I use that on my website. I love that testimonial. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I was in your daily email the other day, and I was I appreciated that. But I'll tell you, it is absolutely the truth. By following what you teach on email, I don't want to give a quantity here of dollars because I don't even know what it is. But let's say that levels of success I never dreamed were possible began to happen because I did that, because I stopped doing my stupid way and I followed you. And so that's, so I would say another thing is, you got to use your imagination a lot. It's true. But on the other hand, there are also a lot of people with a lot of experience who know a lot about a lot of different things. And you should also think about, rather than reinventing the wheel all the time, are there things where I can just learn it from somebody? And when it comes to email, you got to just learn it from Ben Settle, because why would you just keep testing and trying? You know, we already know what works. I mean, basically we do. We do know what works. It's a matter of just practicing and getting good at it. All right, I don't know where that was going, but it ended up being a testimonial.
I like it. And another, someone who's just kind of like, they're still, you know, because we're probably creating more questions and answers for people, but that's how you get growth, right?
Yeah.
There's other people like you out. See, people don't realize there's more of us probably than not. But the media and everyone has very carefully made it so everyone feels isolated. There's a lot of like-minded people. And maybe they have the business skills that you don't, that you can contribute somehow and partner with them, right? Like you don't have, like I never would have gotten a software business on my own. Yeah. I attached my wagon on that side to someone who's like a brilliant software guy. You know, it's not my thing. So anybody could do the same thing. And, you know, it's like, look, it's exciting. It really is. Like this could be, people are looking at this as like a really bad problem, or, you know, political upheaval. I mean, personally, I think it's going to get really crazy. I think all this country is just going to break up in the next 10 or 15 years. But I don't look at it as a bad thing. People are like, well, you're so pessimistic. I'm not. That to me is optimistic.
Yeah, that'd be the best thing that happened in 100 years if that happened.
I want that to happen. Is it going to be strawberries and roses? No, it's going to suck for a little bit. But just imagine how much better it's going to be. All this crap that's human trafficking and all this weird stuff going on, it can't sustain if it all breaks down, right? And so a lot of good came from this stupid virus, if you think about it. I even wrote like an insert to one of the email players. There was like 10 or 15 things. I'm like, look at this. There were no terrorist attacks for several months. You know, kids were not having to be, you know, subjected to the public school system for a few months. You know, I'm not saying it was all good, but I'm just saying that you can always find good and stuff. Like you can capitalize on things. Everything's an opportunity. It's not always easy. It's not always, you know, dealing with this can be very hair raising. I'm not trying to make sugarcoat this. I mean, we're all kind of in the same boat, but you know, let's not just be in a boat. Let's be in a tanker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And incidentally, I'm sure 5-10 years ago, you never thought that one of the things you'd be doing would involve software. The thought probably never even crossed your mind. And it wouldn't have crossed my mind either. Not that I expect to ever go into it, but you realize that the secret there is not, because I think most people have limiting thoughts that would say to them, well, I can't program software. I don't know anything about software.
So I can't either. I wouldn't even know.
You partner with somebody.
I'm a caveman.
You know, that's the answer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Your partner was. Or I remember back when I used to do a lot of affiliate promotions, and there would be these huge affiliates who would have these massive bonus packages where, you know, they would be giving away WordPress plugins and this and that kind of
cars.
Technical thing. Yeah. Well, yeah. But in particular, yeah, right. But my thing is, not the prizes, but other affiliates to get people to buy from them.
Oh, the bonuses, you mean? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. They would give away, what I meant to say was bonuses.
Yeah.
And they would have all these amazing bonuses, you know, and I would think, well, gee, I don't know how to create a WordPress plugin, so I couldn't give one away. But neither did they. Well, of course, they just outsourced that. Some guy in Thailand made the WordPress plugin for them. Is because I had this limiting belief, you know, that, well, I don't know how to make that. You don't have to know how to do that. Think beyond your limitations, you know, especially in this world, you can farm anything out to anybody. So, so don't be limited. Don't be so limited in just thinking about what my limited talents are.
Well, thinking big is a rarity these days because, you know, the system doesn't want you thinking big, right? So the few of us who do, I mean, even if we're not very good at it, we're still having an advantage. You know, I don't know how much your audience likes or hates or couldn't care less about Trump, but he does have a good book about thinking big. But it's in the title. I couldn't say the exact title. It was actually really good. And I was like, wow, this is actually, you know, it had me thinking, it got me definitely thinking differently. I think he wrote it in like 2008 or 12 or something. But, you know, there's tools out there, like the 33 strategies of war out there. There's people like the Jay Abrahams out there who consulted you. Like, you know, not everybody's not going to have that kind of access, but just start with what you have. Just start by thinking bigger. I've been telling you, the decision to think bigger is going to make you think bigger. I'll say this, Tom. This is a study as old, okay, where people, you take someone to a window of a busy street and you say, look out of those cars. You say, did you take a good look at the cars? Say, yeah, okay, now look back. Okay, how many red cars did you see? And they're like, oh, shoot, I don't remember. Okay, well, tell me how many red cars are out there. And then they look again. They can call, there's 5 red cars because they're looking for it. When you're looking for it, you'll find it. And it may not be, it's the weirdest thing, but if you're like, okay, I'm looking for opportunity now, you will start seeing it. I promise you that. How that's going to look, obviously, I can't tell you, but it's out there. It's all of this challenges. The worse things get, the bigger the opportunities get. That's all I can say for sure.
And similar to that is another mindset thing that I genuinely believe does make people see the world differently, is to stop thinking of yourself exclusively as a passive consumer, that other people do things and you react.
Yeah, the reaction thing is terrible. That's the worst position to be in, reactive mode, you know?
Yeah. So think of yourself, well, wait a minute. Those people who were doing all those things that you're reacting to belong to the same species that you do. You know, they're not, it's not like, well, that's just their nature. They're going to do that. And it's my nature to passively respond. Don't think of yourself that way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one thing to piggyback on that and I do this for myself. When I get caught up in current stuff and I'm like, you know, anything I can't control, and I don't care if it's something small, like you're waiting for someone to call you back, or if it's big, you're waiting for the, you know, test results that you might have a really horrible disease or something. Just whenever you catch yourself in that situation and uncertainty and wondering and you're frozen, just ask, isn't there something better I could be doing? And that one question, I'm telling you, it like kicks you in the butt. Like it's one of the best questions you can ask yourself, because you're like, yeah, actually I could be doing this. I could be doing that. Anything but this, you know, being miserable. So anyway, I just wanted to leave with that little tip.
Well, I'll say, this will be the last thing. this isn't exactly what you had in mind, but the other day I realized that I spend so much of my, let's say, dead time. You know, I'm waiting for 5 minutes for somebody or whatever. And my immediate thought is to go on Facebook or go on you know, the phone and whatever, and just whittle away the time. It really is whittling away the time.
Yeah.
You can use your phone for very useful. That could be reading an article, whatever. But in practice, I don't. So instead, I decided, you know, there are some great books, like great works of literature that are really, really good and exciting. Not Herman Melville, but really, really good books.
Yeah.
That would just be enriching for me. That I wouldn't necessarily have an immediate tangible result, but that would be enriching for me. And so I bought a bunch of them and I've just started reading them instead of doing that. And already I just feel calmer. You know, I feel better about that because it's, you know, I feel agitated when I'm doing those things because I'm constantly irritated by how many idiots there are in the world.
Oh, I know. It drives you nuts. It makes you feel like your IQ is getting lower, just, you know, being exposed to it. Why spend your time in the brain farts of Facebook when you could be in the minds of great thinkers who have been writing these stories? And, you know, I'm a big fan of like autobiographies. I got to tell you, man, when I got off Facebook, I had all this, I wasn't even on there that much, but I realized, God, I got a lot more time. I started reading biographies of great men. And that was by far, there is definitely a correlation here, the most productive year I had after that and has been to this day. So, you know, it is an interesting thought. You know, it really is, if nothing else.
Well, I've read some of your summaries or bullet points from these autobiographies because I read your newsletter. Well, let me recommend to people, I'm not pitching Ben's newsletter just yet because he'll pitch you on that little by little, but rather that you get on his free email list. So you need to go to bensettle.com and just sign up. Doesn't cost you anything. And then read his emails and watch how he does it. And you'll love you'll just love him. You'll love his personality.
Or hate.
You'll love how. yeah, but my people like crotchety. You know, they go for crotchety. So this is going to be perfect for them. So anyway, Ben's done a huge amount of good for me. And the first step for me was just going to bensettle.com. So everybody go check that out. And I'll put that on the show notes page. And that'll be tomwoods.com/1965. All right, Ben, thanks so much. By the way, also on that page, I'll have all of our previous episodes where we've talked together. Thanks again for talking to me.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks, that's it for another week of episodes. More than ever do we need an uncensored discussion group where truth seekers like you and me can have intelligent conversations without midwits coming along doing fact-checking when they don't even understand the subject. You got all that in the Tom Woods Show Elite, which is my private discussion group, and it's full of smart, interesting people who actually have a personality, who aren't drones who just repeat what they heard at some Dr. Fauci press conference. It's exactly what you need right now because you're surrounded by crazy people. So you can get in there, and that's one of the benefits you get by going to supportinglisteners.com. That is where it is to be found. It's one of the benefits of being a supporter of the show. So go do that, supportinglisteners.com. I'll see you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.